for the past couple of years, things have been not so good for a lot of people, you know? And it got me to thinking, it sure would be nice if we could live our lives without ever having to suffer. Unfortunately, suffering's a part of life. For example, the story goes that this missionary was assigned to some remote islands in the Pacific, and after 3 months, he sent a wire back to his sponsoring church that read, "I'm being plagued by rats, what should I do?" Within a few weeks, a crate arrived filled with rat traps. After about a month, the missionary sent another wire back to the church, and he said, "The traps aren't working, what should I do?" Well, not long after that, a second crate arrived filled with rat poison. Well, before the month ended, the missionary sent yet another wire back to the church. He wrote, "The rats won't touch the poison. Do you have any other suggestions?" It wasn't long before he received the reply, "We suggest you get used to the rats." And suffering is a lot like that missionary's rat problem. It's just something that we have to get used to. But if you have rats, you might want to look into that. Anyway, no one said that having to deal with that stuff is easy, because it's not. It's not. The Apostle Paul, for example, was beaten. He was falsely accused. He was locked up in jail. He was left for dead. I mean, and we can discover a lot of these things from the book of Acts, but we also see a lot of it in the book of 2 Corinthians. And in Paul's letter to the Christians at Corinth, we discover that the relationship between Paul and the church has gotten complicated. And so now Paul has to defend his apostleship and in some ways even his Christianity in 2 Corinthians against the attacks of these false teachers at Corinth. But that's just something that Christians sometimes have to deal with, like Paul explains over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, when he writes that we share in Christ's sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And you have to ask yourself, so where is God in all of these attacks and in all these persecutions that come at Paul and at you and me? You know, what about when you and me end up suffering? Well, I want to go ahead and read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read this a couple times today. So this is verses 1 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 11. Paul addresses the church. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Clearly, Suffering is something that the Apostle Paul went through in his life and ministry. It's something that everyone goes through in one form or another, or one time or another. I don't expect to be shipwrecked. Hope. You know, like Paul was. But we all go through different things in different ways, right? And Paul talks about some of those sufferings in our text. But Paul also talks about the comforts that we have in Christ. So let's talk about some of those comforts and how we can find comfort in our sufferings from our text here in 2 Corinthians. And the first thing that we want to notice from our text is Paul, the apostle of comfort. The apostle of comfort. Back again in verses 1 and 2, Paul greets the Corinthians with the customary greeting of letter writing in the first century. And in that greeting, Paul tells us that he is an apostle of Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul's official position in relation to them and the rest of the world is that of a messenger representing Jesus Christ. That's because it was God's will for Paul to be an apostle. You remember that Jesus, after his death and ascension, handpicked Paul on the road to Damascus to be his apostle, and specifically his apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul tells us that he's not alone in writing to the Christians at Corinth, right? That Paul's cherished son in the faith, Timothy, was with him when he wrote this letter. And that's important for the Corinthians to know. You think, well, why is that? Well, Timothy was with Paul when the church in Corinth got started. And that means that the Corinthians are going to say, yeah, well, Paul, do you have anyone with you to help stand up with you? Well, there's Timothy. And so, yeah, we know Timothy too. So, okay, so you're not alone in all this. So it's important for them to know that, all right? And then Paul ends his greeting with the phrase, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was something that Paul almost always wrote in addressing his letters. And it's not because it was some kind of habit or a trendy thing to do, like XXOO on something or, you know, whatever. But because it was his sincere prayer of blessing upon the people that he was writing to. That God's grace or God's unmerited favor and God's peace or the state of being in a healthy relationship with God be upon them all. That's comforting. That's comforting in any situation to have that kind of word of blessing, especially from the apostle of comfort. And get this, Paul repeats the word comfort in one form or another 10 times in just 5 verses in our text today. And that might not seem like much. You think, well, you know, just 10 times in 5 verses. But that's 10 times out of a total of 31 times in the entire New Testament. That's a lot of times, really. And so if Paul is the apostle of comfort, then 2 Corinthians is the letter of comfort. And that's because out of those 31 times that we mentioned in the New Testament that the word comfort is used in one form or another, 17 of those times are right here in 2 Corinthians. That's a lot of words of comfort. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 3 through 7 again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Now, I'm reading this a couple of times today because if you don't look at this right, you can kind of get lost in all that words of comfort. But We're going to read it again, actually, in a little bit, but just stay with me, all right? There's a reason why he uses all these words of comfort, okay? Uses them so many times. And, you know, it's obviously to comfort them, okay? But that means that they must be suffering terribly or having to deal with some kind of trial or tribulation or affliction to have so many words of comfort shared. Think about it. You don't go send someone a card or a note of comfort and encouragement if they're not struggling. So Paul talks more about comfort than any other author because he's talking about suffering more than any other author. And of course, he does most of that right here in 2 Corinthians. And again, why is that? Well, again, Paul has to deal in particular right now with these new people who came into the church at Corinth who doubt he's an apostle. And they doubt his legitimacy. And it's all because he appears weak to them because he's had to suffer so much for Christ. They're kind of thinking, well, hey, you know, if you're, you know, an apostle like you say, then you shouldn't be suffering so much. God wouldn't let you suffer so much. But he's saying that's not true. And sometimes we experience that as Christians. People say, well, you're a Christian. Isn't God protecting you from suffering? No. Remember, Jesus went to the cross and died for you and me. God did not protect him from suffering. He suffered so that we wouldn't have to in death. But our life is full of all kinds of trials and tribulations. You think, well, why? You know, why is all that true? Well, again, sin is in the world. We'll talk more about that later. But remember back when the Apostle Paul was baptized into Christ. This is when the Lord had spoken to Ananias, the man on Straight Street, in the book of Acts in chapter 9. And there in Acts 9 and verses 15 and 16, the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man, and he's talking at this time about Paul, who was then known as Saul, right? And he's going to be known as Saul to the Jews because of his name, but to Paul, more to Gentiles. He's making that change so people don't have that stigma. But anyway, he says, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles, in particular the Gentiles, which would be interesting for a man who was trained by the great Rabbi Gamaliel. Your mission is to go to the Gentiles. It's a little apprehension there, but still. And their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Already as a part of Paul's calling, he is to suffer for the name of Christ. In other words, God had in mind that the persecutor of the first century of the church would receive some persecutions himself. And that's not some kind of divine retribution saying like, well, hey, you did this, you're going to find out what it feels like. But that's so he could relate to those who are suffering. And also, it's just the calling of a Christian. Jesus said, you know, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to endure the same kind of things I'm going to endure. They persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. And there's a lot of good that comes from that, as we'll talk about, because as we endure through those sufferings and we find comfort in God, we can help others endure those same kind of sufferings because we receive comfort, we can share comfort and comfort others. That's what he's saying in the text, right? And so Paul will talk a lot about his sufferings. As a matter of fact, we find the most biographical information about his sufferings in 2 Corinthians. But again, not because he wants to make himself out to be some kind of a super apostle who has special powers that, you know, is able to endure this. But so, you know, he could talk about those sufferings and how with faith in God, he was able to overcome those. So that way the faithful who are going through those same kinds of struggles can know that there is strength for the weary, that there is hope for tomorrow, that there is peace that can be had because of Jesus Christ. And so as Paul writes about his sufferings, his hope was that the Corinthians would come to understand the divinely ordained role that sufferings are to play in his life and the lives of everyone too, in this letter of comfort. And so again, we find the apostle of comfort beginning the letter of comfort by praising the God of comfort. And why does Paul call our God the God of comfort? Simply to point out to his opponents that whatever suffering he's going through, or whatever sufferings any Christian is going through, God will comfort them. And so rather than rejecting Paul for the sufferings he's going through, the Christians should join Paul in praising God for all that he's going through for the sake of Christ and the church. Water break. It's dry in here. Yeah, I'm going to read verses 3 through 7. Maybe we'll understand it a bit more. Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer." In other words, I'm going to comfort you as I've been comforted, so as you go through those same things, you will be comforted, okay? "And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." All right, so Paul again starts off praising God because he is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And after he tells us about who God is, Paul tells us about what God does and then why God does what he does. Here's what Paul tells us. He says that because God is the God of all comfort, he's able to comfort Paul in all his troubles, so that in turn, Paul has the ability to comfort others no matter what comes their way. And so Paul concludes that it's for that reason that God is the one who is to be praised, even though Paul is the one who's suffering here. And the reason for all this is so that God's comfort will produce endurance among the Corinthians whenever they have to go through the same kind of sufferings that Paul has gone through. It's this idea of endurance, right? It's kind of like the person who thinks that exercise is only for weight loss. But if you exercise a little bit every day, it builds your endurance, you see? So you can stand, you can walk, you do more things. You know, that's what happens when we all get a little older, right? You don't use it, you lose it. Things are going to fall apart. Atrophy happens. You need to get involved. You think, wait a minute, does that mean I'm going to suffer all the time? Well, you know, that's life. Anyway, suffering is a part of life. But the more you go through things, the more you realize that a lot of things are insignificant compared to eternity. Anyway, things like that happen, okay? And again, we're not saying that things are easy. No one's saying things are easy. No one is saying it's simple either, okay? We all go through some kind of a sickness or a loss or a struggle. But knowing Christ and his purposes for you and me can help us to see it through those things and overcome whatever it is that we're going through. And then when we can make it through whatever that was, a loss or a sickness, whatever it is, in turn, we can help others. That's what it means to be really a part of the body of Christ, right? To be able to encourage each other. And you can help encourage someone going through a difficult time best when you've gone through it. Not that we always need to go through everything in the world to help others, but you know what I mean, because you've been there. Someone wants to help you, and you kind of think, what do you know? But hey, you know, maybe they have gone through some things like you have. All right. So it's there so we can help others to be comforted, so they can make it through and remain faithful. It's all about remaining faithful. Think about it. Knowing our God as the God of all comfort means that our sufferings, whatever they are, can't really be outdistanced by God's comfort. We focused a lot on the first seven verses. Let's go ahead and read again verses 8 through 11. There Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffer in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." You can't fear death if you know our God raises the dead, right? That's the idea. "He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Now again, here in verses 8 through 11, Paul's not only drawing attention to his suffering, but he lets us know just how drastic the situation was, right? Think about it. You know, humanly speaking, Paul was in way over his head, so much so he was feeling the pressures terribly, emotionally, physically. And as, you know, he says things were so severe that he saw no way out but death. But God's purpose was not to end Paul's life, but really to bring him to the end of his strength so that he wouldn't rely on himself anymore, but instead on God who raises the dead. Think about it again. Paul has his mind, and he knows that Christ's resurrection points forward and secures our hope and God's final deliverance of all his people, making our God again the God of comfort, knowing that whatever we're going through, if we remain faithful, God will deliver us, if at least at the end, you see. All right. We talked a lot about Paul's situation from our text, and we also, you know, about how Paul, the apostle of comfort, writes the letter of comfort about the God of comfort. Let's talk a little bit more about you and me and our sufferings and our comfort. In other words, what lessons can we walk away with today from our text that can help us to better understand the sufferings that we're going through? Well, I see three things here that we can learn and apply from our text. And the first is sort of a gimme, and that is, life is full of pain. And I know that sounds like a no-duh type of thing to say, right? Life is hard, right? Life isn't easy. And that's true for everyone, both Christians and non-Christians. That's a gimme. But, just, you know, think about the severe weather on the East Coast that we've been hearing about and the fallout from the Tongahunga volcano. And a few weeks ago, there was a severe wildfire I read about in South Africa, not to mention the ones in Colorado. There's a new wildfire in California. People are struggling. Their homes are being burned. They're losing all kinds of things. They're losing loved ones. They're losing everything in many cases. That's some severe suffering. And then there's the COVID-19 stuff. And all the sicknesses and deaths from that, plus all of the other issues from it. We're not even talking about the effects of the virus itself, but all the policies put in place that have helped to destroy businesses and livelihoods. Face it, troubles are going to come our way. It's a part of living. We might even have to deal with some kind of persecution because of our faith. There's absolutely no way to escape all pain and suffering. And in the end, if Jesus doesn't come back before you pass away, you will end up facing death. But here's the thing. Death is our final enemy. And someday there's going to be no more death or suffering or pain, all thanks to Jesus. And as a people of faith, we look forward to that day. I really do like the way the Apostle Peter says it all over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 9. Again, this is a little long, but everything we've been talking about, Peter writes about so well, because Peter has a very similar audience that he's writing to. Again, this is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 9. Won't be on the screen, but it's in your sermon notes. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. But for now, life is real, and it has its share of pain and sufferings and whatever's going on. But only for a little while, really, just a blip compared to eternity. So both Paul and Peter, and we want to encourage everyone to keep the faith, because second, our God is faithful. Think about it over and over again from the beginning of the scriptures to the end. We read about God's promises and how God keeps his promises and how he promises to be with us always. And as our faithful God, you know, we can know that God will either remove our suffering or he will give us the strength to endure our suffering. And as a Christian, the only way that we will ever discover that God is faithful is to see his faithfulness in the midst of our suffering. And while my suffering hasn't been the same as your suffering, and I really can't relate to what everybody else is doing at the same level, and neither can you really, I can tell you that I have seen the faithful who have gone through some things that I could just describe as terrible. Yet in those times, they discovered God's faithfulness in the midst of their suffering. As we'll discover again from 2 Corinthians, from the Apostle Paul, and we read this a bit last week, which was kind of a tease for this week. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10, where Paul reflects upon this very idea. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And I don't know what that is, okay? We can debate that over snacks in the back after closing prayer, okay? But anyway, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul writes, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and in insults, in hardships and persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because again, at that point, like us, we know that there's no other source of strength, no other hope, no other power that can help us except God's. That is when God is the strongest in our lives, when we've learned to lean on him. Now, Paul could have given up, as we know sometimes people do. But his experience has helped him to better understand our faithful God. And so he didn't give up, okay? And neither should we. So yeah, life is full of pain and whatever else throws our way, you know, but thankfully, again, our God is faithful. And like we saw with Paul, God can use our suffering for good. And it might be our good or it might be someone else's good. But ultimately, it's going to be for God's good. And we might not understand how all that works, and we might not even like that idea. But God, if we trust in God, God knows, you know, and God is going to work things out in every circumstance. But again, it might not be for our benefit. It might not even be for someone else's, but ultimately, it will be for his kingdom. Over in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Paul writes it this way. He says that we know in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Sometimes people use that as a blanket statement to say that that's our get out of free trouble card. Yeah, it doesn't say that, okay? But we do know that God will work some good from it all. There's no telling what good things can come out of the bad things that happen to us. Let me share with you the story of the butterfly. And you may have heard this, but this is going to help to bring us to a close here. It's about this guy who came upon a cocoon. And he thought that he would take the cocoon home and watch that process of metamorphosis. You know, watch the butterfly come out of the cocoon and just watch it flutter away, you know. So he brought it home, watched it carefully, checked on it throughout the day, you know. After a few days, he noticed a small opening appear in the cocoon, and he sat there for several hours watching that butterfly struggle to force its body through this itty-bitty tiny hole. After a while, the butterfly seemed to stop making any progress, and the man got a little concerned, and so he figured that he would help out the butterfly. So he took a pair of scissors and he snipped open the remaining bit of the cocoon. And like he hoped, that butterfly emerged easily from the open shell, but flopped right down on the table. The man felt good about what he had done, but as he watched this butterfly, something seemed off. Something seemed strange. The butterfly had this swollen body and its wings were all shriveled up. He didn't know what to make of it, you know? So he continued to watch this butterfly, simply waiting for its wings to emerge so it would get up and flutter away. That's not what happened. The butterfly spent the rest of its brief existence crawling around in this swollen, deformed body with shriveled up wings and was never able to fly, but just lay there and die. You see, what this man had done in his kindness and haste was that he went ahead and eliminated the restricting cocoon that was necessary for this butterfly to survive. You see, as it would struggle through the cocoon and get out through that small little opening, that was God's way of forcing the fluid from its body into its wings so that it would be ready to fly once it got out. The point is, again, a lot of the struggles that we face in life are often things that can help us to become all that God has meant for us to be, and for ourselves, not only for ourselves, but for others and for God. So how will we react to our suffering? Well, everyone reacts differently, but will we allow our sufferings to cause us to reach out to God and learn to depend upon God alone? Will we allow our sufferings to teach us something and to help us to grow into the beautiful butterfly that God wants us to be? Will we allow our sufferings to become a way for us to help and encourage others going through similar situations? Will we allow our sufferings to ultimately be our reason for praising God? Well, as we continue to look at 2 Corinthians, we're going to see that the Apostle Paul did all of those things in the midst of his suffering. He had learned to lean on God, and prayerfully, as we go through this series, we'll learn to lean on God even more. Today, if you're struggling with something, know that God is the God of comfort. And if you're in need of his comfort, he invites you to put your faith in him. So if you're not a Christian yet, you need to admit that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that Jesus came to die on the cross for your sins, and realizing that, turn away from your sins and turn to God, confessing Him as your Lord and Savior, and then be immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of those sins, coming up out of the water to walk in newness of life, again until Jesus comes back again, or you go to be with Him. And for those of us who are already a Christian, the encouragement is for us to keep on trusting in God to see us through whatever it is that we're going through and help others to trust in God to help them through too. And so if there's anyone today who has the need to come forward, whether it's to seek prayer or to share or to become a Christian for the first time, you're always encouraged to come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.